What a day. What a morning. What a time to come together. I'm just grateful for all of you guys being here. You know, I continue to reflect on where we were a year ago. And we weren't in this place a year ago. We were at homes, watching online, and separated, and in various degrees of anger and frustration and stress because of the just not being able to be in community. And yet here we are today to come together to worship, to reflect on Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to worship his name. You know, the song that we sang at the end is like, this is how we know. This is how we know that, as we sang that song, I want you to know that last song that we sang was written by Danny and Mark. Yeah. Which is now one of these Christmas songs that we sing in this house was written by the people in this place. And it's something really cool to know that there is a voice that is being cultivated and created to come out and to come forth. And I just want to continue to speak that out. But I love Christmas music. Christmas carols are so fun, and getting to sing more of them. Christmas Eve, we'll be singing a bunch of carols and remembering all of the good things that we sing throughout the years growing up. One of the songs that I remember singing growing up was a song called What Child Is This? Do you guys, you know the song, you've heard it? What child is this who lay to rest? Na, 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 na. Okay, so you guys know the song that I'm talking about. Interesting question about that song. What child is this? Why is this child so special? Why is this one specific kid born 2,000 years ago, what makes him so amazing? When you start to reflect on kids being born, one out of billions, it's kind of interesting. Right now in America, 4 million kids are born every year. 4 million kids. And here's some other random trivia for you, useless trivia. The most popular day to be born with kids today, the kids who are in the know, are born on Tuesdays. They're born on Tuesdays. Second biggest, most popular day to be born is a Monday. The least favorite day to be born is Sunday. Apparently, kids want to give their moms a break on Sundays, so they're not born on Sunday. So, the most popular month to be born in is September. Count back 9 months. It's really cold. And so, you know, cuddling is important. And so September is the most popular month to be born. These are some, you know, just random facts. But the whole thing is that when I start to reflect on this one child, Emmanuel, why is it that this one is so special and so amazing? I want to just dig into that this morning as we're looking at this. And in order to kind of go into that, I want to first take you back into the Old Testament, into Isaiah chapter 7. And just to look at this, about 700 years before Jesus was born, the king of Jerusalem, Ahaz, he's in a terrible spot. He's got people that are attacking him. He's concerned. He's in a dark place. He's just going, man, we're getting wiped out. Jerusalem is over. The nation of Israel is separated into two kingdoms at this point. And it's just a really hard time. And King Ahaz is not really trusting in the Lord and is freaking out. And here comes onto the scene the prophet Isaiah. And he shares with Ahaz that, don't worry, God's got this. And in fact, what you can do is that you can ask him for a sign, anything, and God will give you that sign. And Ahaz is like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to put God to the test. Well, Isaiah says, well, God wants to give you a sign anyway. And so this is what he shares in the sign. He says, look, in verse 14 of chapter 7, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Does that sound familiar? We've been reading for the last 3 weeks a verse in Matthew, chapter 1, verse 24, over and over and over. Look, a virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. It's the same verse. The angel was referring back to the prophecy in Isaiah, reminding Joseph about what was happening right then. What's fascinating is that when God created everything, because at this point, Isaiah is saying that God is going to show up on the scene. And what's fascinating is that God was already on the scene at the beginning with Adam and Eve. If you remember, Adam and Eve, God was walking in the cool of the day with Adam. God was among us. God was dwelling with his creation, sharing with them, encouraging them, you know, just laughing and delighting. I just can imagine as Adam is going along and saying, yeah, I named that one a rhinoceros. You know, and God's like, good one. You know, that's awesome. Whatever they would talk about, walking in the cool of the day, they were together. They were in tight relationship. But as we know through the accounts of the Old Testament, that Adam rebelled. Adam fell short. Adam decided to go his own way, to do his own thing. And in that process, God could no longer dwell amongst his creation. God being perfect could not be in the presence of imperfectness. He is holy, and man, at this point, because of their choices, Adam and Eve's choice, had become unholy, had become unclean. And so from this point up until the time of Christ, there was this separation between God and man. I mean, yeah, God would reveal himself in a still small voice. God would reveal himself as a pillar of fire or smoke or a storm on top of a mountain. God would reveal himself in some of these scenarios, but it was never on a consistent basis, taking a moment to really spend that time together as we know Jesus did. So why is it that this child is so important? Well, we look from the Old Testament and we go to the New Testament, where in Matthew 1:20, I'm going to just go with the whole thing here, where it says, as he considered this, we're talking about Joseph, thinking about whether or not to divorce Mary, put her to death, all of these different things because he had found out that she was pregnant. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Jesus was born, as Matthew is writing this, he is simply sharing this statement. Hey, this is it. This is the guy. This is the kid. This is Emmanuel. This is the one who we've been waiting for 700 years. I kind of did some calculations, some random math, which I'm not necessarily really good at, but I was looking and just kind of figuring, okay, for 100 years, you could possibly get 5 generations out of that. And from that point, those 5 generations would look after 700 years, about 140 generations of people would be born from the moment of that prophecy to the point to where Jesus was born. 140 generations had come and gone to where they were waiting for a Messiah. That's a long time. A long, long time. And so, in the midst of that waiting, here it is, Matthew is saying at this point, he is with us. Emmanuel has come. The Messiah is here. God has finally fulfilled his prophecy to be among us. He is no longer separate. He is here. He is with us. And so today, as we have talked about for the last 3 weeks, I want to just explore a little bit more of one aspect that, yes, God is with us, and I shared that, and I want to share this with you now. that God is not just with us, but he is also for us. God is for us. You see, God could have come. Jesus could have been born. He could have been born to a high king. He could have been born and reigned and ruled with an iron fist, because he could have been like, yes, I am among you now. I am with you. I am God. I am Jesus. I am the Messiah. I have saved you, and I am with you. But not only was he just with us, Jesus is also for us. And this is a huge deal. When we keep reading in Isaiah, we go through Isaiah 8, and Isaiah 8 says that there's going to be an invasion in Syria that is promised, but that it's going to consume the enemies of God's people. So God's people are not going to be destroyed. And then it goes on in chapter 9, where it says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. That's verse 2. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You know, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about how we have walked in dark places, how we have walked in storms, how we have walked through wildernesses and valleys, and how we may have been or find ourselves in dark places. And in this season where King Ahaz is waiting for a sign and looking for answers, trying to see if he will survive the night type of a situation, God is revealing something to him. He says, those people who walk in darkness will see a great light. This is a promise that God is placing before King Ahaz. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. Now, as I read that, you're going, what does that have to do with Christmas? What a random bunch of verses, Mark. Thanks for sharing that dark, grim, happy promise. The point that I read for you in this is such that I want to just look at this for a second. Because as we read about this, darkness will see a great light. As I share and read about a fire that the warrior clothes, the warrior's bloodstained clothes, the boots, all of those things are going to be thrown into the fire. What that is symbolizing is something very significant. It's simply stating that the war is over, that the battle is done, that the one who is to come is going to set the prisoner free, is going to end the war. So no longer will you have to wear the battle clothes. No longer will you have to go out to fight the battle. The war is done. And it goes on to say, as it is explained, for a child is born to us, a son is given. So we first start with this: the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. All of this stuff, they're all going to be set free. All of the battles are going to be done, to the point to where you no longer have to wear those battle clothes. You can throw them into the fire. The slave is going to be free. The burden is going to be lifted off of their shoulders. For a child is born to us, a son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Again with this child. What child is this? This child is so significant, because with this one child being born to a virgin in Bethlehem, this one child was going to grow up without sin. This one child was going to gather around him disciples to share this good news of a new way to think, was going to simplify the commandments to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This one child would come to make the blind see, the crippled to walk, would make the deaf hear, would remove leprosy. This one man without sin would be willing to go to a cross to be hung there to die as a sacrifice for you, excuse me, and for me, so that we could have relationship once more with God the Father. This is amazing. This one child. And as we look into it, there are some characteristics, there are some traits, there are some names that are given to this child. Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful. This word means supernatural. And so he's not just a wonderful counselor giving good advice. He is bringing forth supernatural counsel into our lives, speaking a truth that goes beyond our comprehension at times. There are moments when I will be sharing with an individual and sharing some things, and I'll bring up something. I'm going, man, that is far beyond anything out of my context of any part of my life, and I have no idea where that came from. I mean, one time I'm talking about ants and how their colonies and how doing things as a team. I'm like, I know nothing about ants. Why am I bringing this up? Wonderful Counselor speaking into my life for the benefit of others. There's times where I'm just looking for the truth of a situation, and I'm opening up the Word, and the Word comes, and it's like, boom, immediately speaking to my heart through the Bible. Wonderful Counselor speaking supernaturally into my life. He's also a mighty God. This word mighty means is a word for warrior. We do not serve a passive God, but a God who has come to set the captives free, right? One who is ready and willing and went to hell, got the keys so that we could be set free and set apart and no longer have to deal with that separation from him forever and ever. He fought the battle for us, and this is awesome. Awesome. He's also been given the title Everlasting Father. Now, this is interesting. I don't want to, you know, bring confusion about the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I don't want to bring that, but as a king, when he reigns, there is a reigning as a father would, giving counsel, bringing forth protection in those types of areas. And so there is a father aspect to him. And then finally, he is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince who brings us peace. The battle is over. The war is done. And that should bring such a comfort to your hearts, right? Such a comfort to your hearts. He is the one that can bring all of this. This is the king who comes and rules, and his government will continue forever and ever and ever. This is the king who comes. This is why Jesus is with us and Jesus is for us. This is how he is for us. And all of this, I can't help but think about and talk about at this point is either as Jesus is the one who can save us. So this is the child who was born to be Emmanuel, God with us. This is the child who would be the Messiah. He is the one who went to the cross. He is the one born 2,000 years ago in a place called Bethlehem. He is the one who, as an adult, set us free. Where do you find yourself today? Talking about the darkness. As a follower of Christ, do you find yourself in the darkness because of your circumstances? I want you to know that Jesus is the one who can come to bring you a peace. That even in the midst of the storms, in the midst of the circumstances, in the midst of the darkness of this life, he is the one that can be your tower. He is the one that can be your refuge. He is the one that can bring you hope in the midst of the darkness. He is the one that can be a light for you. Maybe you're here today as a follower of Christ in the darkness because of the sins of others. Maybe those in your life have brought about this darkness in you, and you're frustrated and you're angry, and there's this place of unforgiveness in your life. But I want to just share with you that because of the Messiah, because of this child that was born, He is giving you an opportunity to forgive. He is the ultimate one to forgive, yes, but we have a place that we can be imprisoned because of our unforgiveness, and He is speaking forth today, and maybe this is for you, to ask you to remove yourself from the jail of unforgiveness and allow Him to be the righteous judge in your life, to be the judge for those that have wronged you, that have sinned against you. And would you go to the Lord now and allow Him to be a new light in your life, to be that Prince of Peace? Would you place your yoke, your burden upon Him? And would you give it back to the Lord and allow His yoke and burden to be placed on you? For His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Are you willing to do that today? To break free from the jail of unforgiveness? God wants to bring that light into your life, that freedom, that hope. Or maybe you're here today and you're a follower of Christ, but you're in the darkness because of your own sin. Well, as we've talked about, Jesus came, Emmanuel, God with us, to die on that cross for your sin, to set you apart, to free you from this stuff. Would you allow Him to do that today? Would you allow Him to take the shame from you today? This one, God with us, this amazing Savior, this Messiah, He was born, lived, died, rose again, taking this so that you didn't have to hold on to it. Would you let it go today? This is why we get to celebrate Christmas. This is why there is a hope and a joy and a freedom, is because of this child. You no longer have to hold on to the sin, the shame. Be like Elsa and let it go. You know, there's one other group of people here today that are like King Ahaz. Not quite sure about God. Not quite sure about what He's done. He really hasn't been a part of your life. And possibly like King Ahaz, you may not feel comfortable calling on Him just yet, because He's kind of been intimidating in your life. Or maybe you felt like He's been non-existent and hasn't shown up. But I want to encourage you today, like the prophet Isaiah came to Ahaz, the Lord is near. And He wants you to know Him. And He wants to speak into your life. And Scripture is clear where it talks about that when we draw near to the Lord, He is drawing near to us. And so this morning, I want to just invite you to explore who God is. Unlike Ahaz, who just was so fearful of Him, I want to encourage you to press in just a little bit and get to know who Jesus is. I want to invite the worship team to come on up here as I finish up this morning. What child is this? He's the Son of God. This moment in time is amazing, because before Jesus, there was a separation between God and man. And after Jesus' death and resurrection, there is now reunion with God and man. So may you today press into this Messiah. Press into the Messiah. discover who Jesus is. Look through the Gospels and read about the one who lived, who shared, and who died and rose again for you. Explore this truth of who he is. And may it be that you no longer just say, well, what's the big deal with Christmas? Or may it be that we rekindle our understanding of the importance of this season and not get distracted by the twinkly lights or the non-twinkly tips of Christmas trees. May we not be distracted with that, but may we be reminded that unto us a child is born. And we shall call him Emmanuel, which means God, the creator of all things, who spoke life into existence, who made the stars with a word, who brought the heavens and the earth in motion, who created plants and animals and you and me. That one, yeah, not any longer was he distant, but God in the present is with us. Let's stand. Lord, I thank you for this season of reflection about who you are, this season of remembering what you've done for us, this season of celebration, of coming together as family, and even extended family. A heavenly family, a reminder that because of you, we all are part of your family. So Lord, we just thank you this morning. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your love, your willingness, your obedience to be that ultimate sacrifice for all of us. You, Emmanuel, wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty Father, mighty Savior, mighty Warrior. You are good. You are good. We thank you for your love. Be with us now as we reflect on these things and are in this season. May we never forget who you are and what you've done. In your name, amen.